you feel lonely, I could be lonely. Tell me, baby, why do you seem so...
Hello and welcome everybody to the second edition of the JumboCast radio show. My name is Owen Finnegan, joined alongside by some other wonderful members of the JumboCast club who we will introduce in 1 second once I turn their mics up. Alrighty, so... once again, thank you all for joining us. My name is Owen Finkin. I'm the president of JumboCast. And for those who haven't been here before, who haven't joined us on air before, this is the show where we talk about tough sports and sports in general. So just a bunch of guys who love sports talking about them. So why don't we go around and introduce ourselves just so that everybody at home knows who they're listening to.
Hello, everyone. This is Lucas Johnson, the eldest of the two Lucases in the studio this morning, and the one who did not just make your ears bleed with that screeching noise.
Yeah, so I'm the other Lucas, Junior, so happy to be on my first show, so it should be a good time.
This is Max, here for the first time this year. Good to be back.
All right, so just four of us today, which I feel like is kind of actually smaller than it usually is, but regardless, we're going to have a great show for you guys. With what has been a largely successful fall season for the Jumbos, we're going to start off with talking about perhaps the most historically successful team in the last 5 or so years, the men's soccer team. For this one, I'm going to flip it over to the two Lukai in the studio because I actually have not worked on a soccer broadcast this entire year. So I'm going to leave it up to the experts for this one.
Absolutely. Well, of course... Tufts men's soccer team was looking pretty nice to start the season, coming off of a national championship. For the senior class, it was their second national championship in 3 years. But Lucas, as we've seen, they've kind of hit a significant brick wall, considering the fact that they hadn't had a loss in, what, it was like 30 or some matches.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, in their past 5 games, they've got 5 points, with this October schedule being really brutal for them for some reason, coming off of a draw against Wesleyan, a win against Trinity, and then back-to-back losses with Babson Amherst, and then a draw against Hamilton. So what is going on?
I don't know. You know, a lot of these games on the road, four of them on the road, and in all those four, they didn't get a single win. So having a couple of those road troubles, not able to see those games personally, but when I was checking the results, you know, a bit of a shock to see those. Amherst away is always going to be a tough game. They've always got a solid team. They'll always put up a fight. So that's always going to be tough. And then just the other games in general in the NESCAC, they're always going to be tough affairs, tight affairs. Usually other teams, they know that Tufts is a great opponent, so they usually like to sit back. So it's always going to be tough for them. But now the final stretch, three straight home games, and they need to, I think, win all three to have maybe even a chance of getting the number one seed in NESCAC. They probably won't, but to just try and secure home field advantage, winning the next three would certainly do them a world of good.
Yeah, that Amherst game was brutal. It went to overtime. It was 1-1, I believe. Yeah, 1-1. And then an OT, Amherst, essentially, they had the kickoff, and they just literally in 12 seconds dribbled right through the Tufts defense. It took one lucky bounce, and they slotted it in the back of the net. So that was a tough one. As you said, really important that they finish strong with these last three games here, all at home with Conn College this Saturday, tomorrow, and then they got Middlebury, who, hopefully, you know, Lucas Pyle is a resident. He's kind of infiltrated our club as a Middlebury.
No, those are always always great games. I actually went to the game last year when they played at Middlebury. I was one of the only Tufts supporters. I was supporting Tufts on the day, so that was a good day. They drew 1-1. Yeah.
He switches his allegiance frequently, though, so never trust what you see in any one game.
I know. I like to be sort of the away fan. It's more fun, yeah. I think.
And then wrapping up against Bowdoin. So those three games are really important because, you know, in the past, Tufts has not always won the NESCAC title.
Yeah.
What was it? Was it last year that they got bounced away?
Yeah, in the quarterfinals against the number eight seed.
And with, you know, with Conn College being very close to them in the table right now and Amherst as the one seed, you know, they can't really rely on an at-large bid potentially this season. So they got to finish strong here and make their case for an at-large bid if they were not to win the NESCAC, but obviously, if you win the NESCAC, you're guaranteed entry into the tournament. So that's what they got to focus on.
What are the odds of Tufts getting an at-large bid, even without maybe even placing second or maybe even third in the NESCAC?
Yeah, I don't actually know how it works. So our freshman year, Owen, which was, 2016, they didn't win NESCACs, but they did get an at-large bid. That's when they won their second program title. And I believe that year it was, like, record-wise, it wasn't very good. They might have gotten, like, 8-0-5 or something like that. So I think they certainly take into account level of opponents, and the NESCAC as a whole is one of the more competitive conferences in D3 sports. I don't know that, like, the percentages, but I think last year did Middlebury make the tournament? I think three NESCAC teams made it.
I think Middlebury might have made it.
Middlebury snuck in. So,
or I know they made it two seasons ago because when they made it to the NESCAC final that year.
So I think it would be fair to say if they lose out and they don't win NESCACs, they're probably not going to go on. But even if they were to really stumble and maybe just get like 4 points in these last three games, I think they would probably still make it. But got to finish strong, of course.
And I wonder if their past history sort of
helps them.
Mia helps them get a bid. I'm just looking at the standings going into the final, you know, three games. Tufts coming in. They're tied for second right now with Conn College. That's a huge game this weekend.
It's a big game, yeah.
And then Amherst on top. A lot of teams sort of close together. Bates, sort of surprised being high up there. Usually not known as one of the higher teams in the NESCAC conference.
Yeah, similar record to Tufts. Bates has. Yeah.
So it'll certainly be an interesting stretch, that's for sure.
Yeah, Conn College too. Like, you don't often see them at the top of NESCAC standings, but there they are with the second best record for men's soccer behind only the undefeated Amherst. That kind of jumped out at me.
Yeah,
good team
been,
this year.
They've been doing. They had a good season last season. Not sure if they won NESCAC or not. I think Colby won NESCAC.
Yeah, I remember Colby had that weird
Cinderella. It's incredible, absolutely incredible. But But yeah, no, it should be a really interesting end to the season. That's for sure.
Yeah, totally. Shifting gears just a bit, talking about hopeful strong ends to the men's soccer schedule. Taking a look at the women's soccer schedule, standing an equally impressive, if not more, 10-1-1. So only one loss on the season to Williams. But the last three games they have, all home games, all conference games, Connecticut College, Middlebury, and Bowdoin. So big last 2 weeks for the women's soccer team. So what do you guys, what can you tell us about the women's soccer team for the Jumbos?
Yeah, well, they've been very pleased with their season thus far. As you said, only dropping one game. Second game of the season at Williams, that was a really hard-fought game. I was actually watching it. And Williams, I believe, won the national championship last year.
Yeah, they did.
They might have won like two in the past 3 years. So they're a very, very solid team. So the women's team, very pleased with their season thus far. Obviously, they're looking to carry this success into the postseason, hopefully get into the tournament. They're looking like they're going to get, you know, an at-large bid regardless, as they have in past years. So now for this senior class, it's one last chance for them to try and actually make a run at the title, something they haven't been able to do in the past years. I think the furthest they got in the tournament was maybe it was last year. I think they made it, might have gotten to the second round, and they got bounced due to an unfortunate and debatable call by the referee, if I remember correctly. I think there was a shot. The game might have gone to extra time or something like that, and Tufts might have... I can't remember if Tufts was on the short end of this, but there was essentially a ball that went into the net, but it didn't actually. It hit the upper post, bounced out, but the referee called it a goal. End of the game there. So hopefully, for Tufts' sake, they have better luck this time, and they're looking to make a run at the national championship.
So the moral of that story is let's bring in goal line technology as soon as possible. Let's get it going. Come on.
That might be the next step for JumboCast, is developing the goal line technology.
Did you see, like, before it actually got widely adopted across all of professional soccer, that, you know, like, why don't we just test it on
D3? That would have been so nice. I don't know.
Right, it was like the bot ump in that summer league this past summer. Hopefully it doesn't get a bad reception, like a manager coming out to dispute it. But
lay the land for the women's NESCAC soccer. Tufts in first place with an overall a 6-1 conference record and overall record of 10-1-1. Lucas, I don't know if you know this, Middlebury women's with an impressive 5-0-1 conference, 10-0-1 overall, which is notable because Tufts will be playing Middlebury a week from tomorrow on the 26th.
Huge game.
Yeah. Big Middlebury doubleheader. A lot of drama coming in from Vermont.
I'll be able to watch the women's game. I'll be able to watch that one. But the men's one I won't be able to, which I'm really bummed about.
Yeah, we should keep an eye on that. And then Williams, in third place with a 5-2 conference record, and Hamilton with a 4-3-1 record coming in fourth place. Also, a little JumboCast shout-out to Haley Bernstein. She's a first-year goalkeeper from New York City. She got the NESCAC Player of the Week this week, stopping 9 of 10 shots in an undefeated 2-win week for the Jumbos. So congratulations to Haley for that NESCAC Player of the Week. I don't know if any of you are familiar with her, but being a first-year goalie cannot be easy.
She's absolutely thrust in the fire as a first-year. Junior keeper Ava McCain was supposed to be the starter, I believe, but she suffered a pretty serious leg injury right before preseason started, so Bernstein was really tasked with coming in right away as a first-year and getting the starting nod and net for the Jumbos, and she's done a really fantastic job.
And I remember watching two of the games earlier on in the season and just being really impressed about how composed she was, especially playing out from the back. You know, it's that's sort of the part of the sport that's really evolving in the past couple of years, of keepers being able to be comfortable on the ball, passing it out of the back instead of just booting it forward. And almost every time when the ball came to her, she was just looking to keep it on the ground, keep the flow moving. So that's certainly been sort of a transition for this Tufts team, who normally in the past have been maybe a bit more of a direct team, but now they're sort of, you know, improving their passing abilities, and, you know, they're first in NESCAC, so they're having a fantastic season.
All right. Thank you to Lucas, and thank you, Lucas. If you want to call in and talk a little bit more about Tufts men's or women's soccer, please feel free always to call 855-915-WMFO. That's 855-915-WMFO. You are listening to WMFO 91.5 in Medford, Massachusetts. Tufts Freeform Radio. This is the JumboCast show. Pivoting to another big fall sport, and one that we have been intimately covering for the entire season, and that is, of course, football. Max, I know you've been on a couple broadcasts so far this season for the football team. So tell us what you've seen from the Jumbos so far, and what is possibly explaining their, dare I say, disappointing 2-3 overall record.
Sure. So I was on the first call of the year against Trinity, and you know, following that victory, there's a lot of promise of a great year. You know, Trinity coming in as a 3-time NESCAC champs. I mean, there was real expectation that Tufts, after a strong year itself, you know, would continue on a strong play. I think it was obvious to me and Trevor Russo, the play-by-play guy on the call, that Tufts definitely had some gaps despite the victory. They kind of like let Trinity creep in at the end, and I think a lot of it revolved around inexperience. So you saw a lot of it on the offensive line, certainly in the secondary as well, on the defensive side of the ball. So, you know, part of me kind of says I'm not that surprised that they've had some of the results they have because it's a team that's still, you know, learning to grow and, you know, having some decent results, but maybe not, you know, at the level of expectation that the first game might have indicated.
So we all know Ryan McDonald graduated last year, the former quarterback for Tufts. What have you seen from the new QB, whose name is actually slipping my mind right now?
Oh, it is.
Is it Carroll?
In mine as well. Yeah,
Carroll?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's an interesting situation for Tufts. So, so Carroll came in as the starter this year. He's senior, I believe. And I thought, you know, he was serviceable in that first game. I mean, they saw a lot of strong play out of Mike Pedrini, the senior or maybe post-grad running back. Anyway, he was very steady, got 27 carries in that first game for 71 yards, so definitely did the job. And, you know, Carroll was fine himself. I mean, 2 touchdowns, 13 of 23 passing for 178 yards, so, yep. You know, definitely enough to do the job. But, you know, again, with, you know, inexperience at the, you know, at the quarterback position comes, you know, sometimes some inconsistent play, perhaps, and certainly with a defense that has not really limited many teams to very few points. I mean, it puts more pressure on the offense to deliver up to, if not at a greater level.
Yeah, very strange. I just looked this up. A very strange sort of lay of the land for NESCAC football. 3 teams are winless so far this season. Those teams being Colby Bowden and Bates, and Tufts coming in right ahead of them at 2 and 3. So Tufts sort of in the bottom third of NESCAC action, and then 2 undefeated teams, Middlebury,
yeah,
shout out, and Wesleyan has been good for as long as I can remember. Amherst and Williams stepping in with a 4-1 record. So if you're a fan of Middlebury, Wesleyan, Amherst, or Williams, it'll be an interesting last 5 games to the season, 4 games to the season, because a lot can change with one loss. If you're a fan of Bates, Bowden, and Colby, maybe wait for next year. 2 big games coming up for Tufts football, of course, the first being homecoming tomorrow, the second being Parents and Family Day on the 26th. And I know they're playing Bowden tomorrow. I cannot remember who.
Playing Hamilton on the 26th.
Okay. So the Hamilton game, identical records for Hamilton and Tufts. That Bowden game, not so much. Yeah, we'll
they
see.
Should be expected to win that game.
Yeah. But, you know, really anything can happen. Perhaps my favorite fun fact of NESCAC football this season was the recent promotion of a new Bowden head coach. This head coach's name is BJ Hammer. That is a football name if I've ever heard it. Yeah. So, coach, I mean, like, with a last name like Hammer, you were just born to be a football coach.
Like Jonathan Quick in the NHL as a hockey tender.
That's a good name, too.
You know, it's interesting looking through their roster. Tufts QB, Jacob Carroll. And I remember talking to one of my friends who was an assistant on the team. Jacob Carroll's from Alabama, which, you know, Bama's huge in football.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting to see guys like that actually like come up to the, you know, northeastern part of the country to play for a program like Tufts. Because looking through their roster, it is a lot of Massachusetts, a lot of California, a lot of Jersey. There's another Alabama guy, Fairhope, Alabama. Some Tennessee players.
There's a guy living with me from Jacksonville's on the team. So interesting. Getting some southern exposure too.
There's a wide receiver from Needham, Massachusetts, which is my hometown. Just thought I'd, you know, float that one out there.
Little shout out.
You ever see players from Middlebury on any teams?
On any teams, no. No, Middlebury's too small to be. Maybe, like, skiing.
Just wait till Lucas Pyle walks on the side.
Oh, yeah.
Senior year. Yeah. Watch out. Yeah, so kind of a strange transition year, we'll call it, for the football team. And again, it's weird to see Trinity at a 3-2 because for as long as I can remember, they've been the best team in the NESCAC. Haven't they won like 8 of the last 10 NESCAC titles or something crazy like that?
Yeah.
I don't have the stat off the top of my head, but yeah, so a little bit of moving and shaking in NESCAC football. Any other comments on football from anybody? I don't have much to say.
I haven't really been paying too much attention. You know, suffered a couple heartbreaking losses, but at the same time, they've also gotten absolutely rocked in a few games.
Yeah, it's been bad. What's funny is we're very good friends with the Tufts Daily, and I love the work that the Tufts Daily does, but they always have an article on football, and they always use a photo from the first game of the season where they beat Trinity.
Really?
And every single game, they talk about a devastating loss to another NESCAC opponent and use a photo from the victory against Trinity. So, football, you know, can really turn it around. There's still 3 games left, you know, so they run the table. They'll end with a really good record, but to be determined, and so keep an eye on them. We'll be covering those games. We haven't yet plugged our broadcast, but big broadcast weekend for JumboCast. We are covering homecoming men's soccer against
Conn College.
Oh, that's a big game.
Yeah,
that's
big
a huge game.
Big
so
game.
Be sure to tune into that for sure. And then, of course, as we mentioned earlier, football is playing Bowdoin, so be sure to tune in to that. Any of you guys on the calls for any of those games?
I'm doing the soccer game.
Nice.
And also on doing camera for tonight's game as well.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, so we will be covering volleyball tonight, which we'll talk about in a second. And you know what, actually, Lucas? I think that's the perfect transition to volleyball. So we've talked about historically successful programs in men's soccer. We've talked about perhaps unsuccessful programs this fall with football. Let's talk about right now super successful programs with volleyball. So volleyball, Tufts volleyball, at an impressive, I think they're
17 and 0, 14th ranked nationally.
Max,
like.
They actually got bumped up one spot this week. The rankings just came out, I think, today, so they are now 13th in the country. Which I have a hot take. We should be top 10, if not top 5.
I mean, I'm just trying to figure out. So when they do these rankings, I mean, Tufts has dropped, what, 6 sets all year?
6 sets all year, correct.
So the teams above us, I'm sure they've played tougher opponents is what it boils down to. But when you drop 6 sets all year, 17-0, that's kind of remarkable that they're a considerable number of teams ranked above you in the national rankings.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the volleyball rankings have been a little whack all year, I think, especially for Tufts. I don't know what they have against Tufts. I don't know if it was because they lost last year and they just can't get over that. But we were 24th in the country, and then we beat the 5th-ranked team, Johnson and Wales. And we didn't just beat them. We beat them 3-0. At home, and then we only jumped up to like 18th or something. And it's like, if you beat the fifth-ranked team in straight sets, I don't know. I feel like that kind of tells you something.
There is only one undefeated team who is above Tufts in the ranking. So again, begs
a little. Is it Calvin? It's always Calvin.
No, it's Johns Hopkins.
Really, Johns Hopkins?
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, and again, like Max, you probably have it up right now. I'm pulling it up right now. But some of the teams ahead of Tufts have like 4 or 5 losses.
Right.
It's really quite strange. So I don't understand it. I won't question it. I mean, Trinity, Texas has 4 losses.
You know, I wonder if part of it is Tufts
Barry
has, played
has 4
6
losses.
Games against NESCAC opponents thus far. We still got 4 to go in these last however many 7-8 games. So perhaps I really do think it comes down to strength of schedule at the end of the day.
Right. I mean, no other NESCAC teams are in the rankings, let alone receive votes for the rankings. So it kind of begs the question of strength of schedule, if that actually, I guess in this case, it really doesn't favor Tufts.
Yeah, going from the macro national rankings to the micro, just the Tufts team, they've been an absolute joy to watch. Lucas mentioned dropping 6 sets all year, 2 of those sets coming in 1 game against Emerson, which was the first game of the season. So if that tells you anything, they haven't dropped a set since the 21st of September. So we're coming up almost on a month since the last set that of Tufts volleyball has dropped. Undefeated in the NESCAC, obviously, since they're undefeated as a whole. And like Lucas Pyle just mentioned, we will be covering their game tonight. Game is at 7 o'clock, and it is senior night for the Jumbos. although it is senior night, I think perhaps what is the most important change for the Jumbos this season is the introduction of freshman Stephanie Lee, the libero, because as we'll remember last year, Sophia Aker, who's a fantastic player, was playing libero last season. She had never played libero before at any level, to my knowledge. And she's also 5'11", which is pretty tall for a libero. So she was playing out of position all season. She did a good job. But Stephanie Lee, who's a natural libero, she's only 5'3". That's sort of the height you want for a libero, and has been playing a ridiculous amount of playing time this season. I think that's really one of the big changes for the Jumbos that's allowed them to have the success that they have.
Yeah, I was just comparing their schedule to last year, because I remember last season was sort of felt like a frustrating season for Tufts volleyball, because they had almost the same, you know, squad as they do this season, but just a lot of heartbreaking losses. Of course, we'll always remember that one against Bowdoin, but this year they've been fantastic, and in the game against Bowdoin this year, they absolutely ran away with it. So it's been a fantastic season for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And with senior night on the horizon tonight, taking a look at some of the seniors for Tufts volleyball, Rachel Fuhr-Ash, who's been a setter has been a starting setter for quite a long time, has always been an important part of the team. Bridget Bell, who's a captain and is also a friend of the program. A fellow Jumbo caster. So honoring her tonight. Christina Nwangpa, who's probably my favorite player to watch play. Heather Holtz, who also has been a huge part of the team for 4 years. And Maddie Stewart, who's been a two-year captain. And again, another player who's been a huge part of the team for as long as she's been at Tufts. So this senior class has really been sort of the heart and soul of Tufts volleyball for quite a long time.
I mean, normally all of those players are probably starting the game, or most of those are starting the game. So it's going to be, you know, a tough ask to replace them. But I think at times when we've seen sort of the younger players on the team come into the games, they've also done a great job. So.
Yeah, tonight is against Springfield College from Springfield, Massachusetts. They're coming here for the first game of what is going to be a tournament that's going to take place at MIT. Going to finish play at MIT on Saturday. Tufts and Springfield sort of has been a what I call an unofficial rivalry. The past couple years, they've had some really heated games. Springfield beat them freshman year. I think Tufts beat them sophomore year. Of course, I'm speaking in terms of when I was a freshman and a sophomore. Can't remember the result from last year, so we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens tonight. So be sure to tune into that. Those are always really good games. Lay the land in the NESCAC. We're sort of talking like Tufts is steamrolling over everyone, but there is a team with more conference wins than Tufts, and that is Wesleyan. Wesleyan at 7-1, Tufts at 6-0. So definitely still some challenges.
So Wesleyan's 7-1?
7-1, yeah. Excuse me. So
I played two more games.
The one loss coming to Tufts, yeah.
And the last set dropped by Tufts to them. Wow. So. Little challenge put up against.
Was that 3-1 or 3-2?
3-1.
3-1, yeah. So, but it will be interesting, like, with Wesleyan standing at one loss, of course, that loss coming to Tufts, but Tufts has to be careful not to drop two games in conference for the rest of the season. Conference games for Tufts, there are, I think, if my memory is serving me correctly, two or three more. Four more, actually. So, away at Amherst, away at Middlebury, home at Bates, home at Colby. So, really have to win all those to secure that first seed in the NESCAC. And, gentlemen, I wouldn't be thinking that it's a stretch to say that we might be seeing some home NESCAC playoff volleyball that Jumbo Cavs will be covering. I don't know if anybody disagrees, but...
Should be exciting.
There's a pretty good chance.
We're amped up if it happens.
Yeah, I mean, it's always really fun. Because we get the first round of playoff action. So we'll be covering that on the JumboCast channel if it so happens.
Should we talk a little Focky?
I would love to talk a little... I would love to talk some field hockey, but we're going to have to pause for a second for a PSA. Of course, with the
Adopt US Kids presents the multiple choice parenting.
Your daughter just got invited to the prom. Do you A, meet her date?
I need to see your past date report cards, your driver's license, a list of references, and this hair sample.
B, help her pick out a dress.
Don't you just love the long sleeves and turtleneck on this pantsuit?
Ugh.
C, attend the prom undercover.
Mom, what are you doing here?
I'm not Mom, I'm Calvin, the new kid at school.
Or D, capture her big moment.
Let's take a photo of you two. I'm in the middle.
When it comes to parenting, there are no perfect answers. But that's okay, because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
All right, thank you all for listening to that PSA. As Max mentioned, we're going to talk a little bit of field hockey for Tufts. Before we do that, just a reminder that you're listening to WMFO 91.5 FM in Medford, Massachusetts. This is Tufts Freeform Radio. This is the JumboCast Sports Talk Show hosted by JumboCast. If you want to talk in with your hot takes, if you agree with us, if you disagree with us, please feel free to call 855-915-WMFO. That's 855-915-9636. We'd love to hear your thoughts. So, Max, what has Tufts Volleyball been up to so far this fall semester?
So field hockey is off to a 10-2
record.
What
did I say?
You said volleyball. That's okay.
I meant to say field hockey.
I was
going to
let it slide. So yeah, they are off to a 10-2 record. Overall, 6-1 in the NESCAC, which places them tied for second in the standings alongside Bowdoin and Williams. Now, my one field hockey memory from this year is I remember pre-soccer broadcast. I believe they were wrapping up a game against Colby, what ended up being a really gritty win. 3-2. I'm not exactly sure if I'll be describing this right, but they had some sort of free kick equivalent that you have in field hockey when a foul is committed that was somewhere in their box area, or I guess Colby's box area, and they converted on that. So, yeah, I mean, hopefully this record right now is a sign of good things to come as they wrap up their schedule against all at home against Conn College, Middlebury, Bowdoin, and then presumably get a top seed in the NESCAC tournament.
Yeah, the leader in goals for the field hockey team is a sophomore, Claire Foley. She has 6 on the season. It's my understanding that with 12 games played and 6 goals is a pretty remarkably high amount of goals. Of course, I'm not super familiar with field hockey, but that is pretty dang impressive, if I say so myself.
It's a big field, a lot of room to cover.
Yeah,
totally. Hard to score those goals.
Small ball.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, JumboCast not covering field hockey this semester. Unfortunately, we have in the past, but you can still tune in through the PAC network, I believe, if you are a big Tufts field hockey fan. Of course, standing atop the NESCAC rankings at an undefeated 7-0 is
Middlebury.
Middlebury College.
Middlebury have had a fantastic program over the years. And last year, I believe it was a very tight game, but I believe they beat Tufts in the national championship. So yeah, and it's a, you know, not this weekend, but the following, their next two games, well, Tufts field hockey, believe, play their final three games all at home, and two of them coming against some of the Tufts. So Middlebury, who's number 1 in the nation in D3, and then Bowdoin, who I believe are number 4. So those are two really big games. Having them both at home, I think, probably massive. So potentially Tufts can leapfrog them in the standings if they win those games.
Yeah, a successful fall semester for Middlebury Athletics as a whole. It's pretty... I keep saying fall semester. I probably should be saying fall season, right? They've just been at the top of most of these sports rankings. Connecticut College coming in at a disappointing 0-7 for field hockey.
Yeah.
So far, Max, I don't know. Do you have the national rankings up for field hockey? It'd be interesting to see those.
Sure. So we got Middlebury at 1. No surprise, being the defending national champs and having an 11-0 record. Then from my home state of New Jersey, the Garden State, we got TCNJ at 2.
Oh, TCNJ.
At a clean 11-0. Then Salisbury, Bowdoin, Franklin and Marshall, Tufts at 6, Rowan also from Jersey, Williams, Vassar, and Johns Hopkins round out the top 10.
Wow, so like half of those teams are NESCAC teams?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
insane. That's crazy. You like never see that, actually. That's really crazy. Yeah.
Wow. Far cry from like football, volleyball, yeah. no doubt.
Yeah, so NESCAC field hockey has been a total bloodbath so far. What's their schedule like for the rest of the season? How many conference games do they have? Does anybody have it up?
For the Tufts field hockey?
Yeah.
There are three more games, all at home, Conn College, Middlebury, Bowdoin. And actually, I was actually misremembering. So Tufts not only lost to Middlebury in the national championship game, but they also lost to them in a NESCAC championship game as well.
That's right.
So
I remember that happening.
You know, need that sort of revenge, get back on them for this season.
So if you're away from the Tufts campus, I think Saturday the 26th is the day to come if you're a sports fan.
Yeah.
Against Middlebury in field hockey, which is obviously, like Lucas just said, a huge game. It is parents' weekend, so you know, bring your ma, bring your pa. What are the other big games happening?
Men's soccer and women's soccer.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
And I think the women's soccer is probably going to be the bigger of those two, just because they're so tight at the
yeah.
top.
Yeah. Yeah. So a lot of good games against the Panthers. The Panthers, of course. Middlebury. I also got into Middlebury.
I'll be singing choir. Yeah, that's, you know, it's tough, but you gotta live with it.
The parents should also come out to that for this beautiful man's voice.
I might show up. You know what? You haven't sung for us yet. I might show up.
Yeah,
I've never heard you sing. I should.
I'd like to blend in with the choir. I'd like to be one of the
men.
Do you have a uniform?
You have to wear like a black button-down shirt, black dress pants, and black dress shoes.
Okay.
It's nice. It's not, yeah. You don't have to wear a tie, which I think
you
is
own a black button down?
Yeah.
I feel like no one just like casually owns a black button down.
No, I mean, yeah.
Do you have to go buy it?
It's for choir and casino nights. send Lucas Pyle to Encore. Yeah. He's ready.
it's when Lucas's night job is a waiter.
Oh boy. Well, I'm ready now. I have the shirt. So
when you have to wait tables at 7 but you have choir at noon. Cool.
But, yeah.
So we're going to take a very brief break for a song, just to give us a water break and a chance to gather our thoughts, but we will be back shortly after this tune. So stay tuned. Welcome back, folks. You just heard Just Friends with their new song, Fever. Not on an album yet. It's just a single, band that I like, so check them out. So for the remaining, call it 19 minutes that we have on the show, figured that we would give a brief overview on some fall sports that we're maybe not super familiar with, and then sort of transition into a little bit of talking about professional sports, new hockey season, football season in full swing. So who has a fall sport that they wanted to give an overview with and start? All right, I'll start. So tomorrow, very exciting, the head of the Charles, it's the head of the Charles Day, an event that I lived in Massachusetts my whole life, fairly close to the head of the Charles. I've never gone. So tomorrow, I'll be going, of course. Tufts men's and women's crew, I believe, will be participating at the head of the Charles, on Saturday and Sunday. I can't remember who is participating when. That'll be the second regatta for men's rowing, at least, ahead of the Riverfront. Earlier in October, it was their first. So, if you're a Tufts rowing fan or just want to see all the boats, it's a very cool event from what I understand. Check out the Head of the Charles tomorrow. I'll be there. Come say hi. What other fall sports are we forgetting here?
Well, as far as tennis goes, tennis, I can't really tell how their team is doing necessarily. It looks like, based on some of the news articles that have been published, junior Boris Sorkin has been playing very well for them, heading to a couple tournaments. So it seems like he might be their top dog as a whole, as a team. Can't really tell you how they're doing, but it seems like Sorkin's really been playing well.
You guys ever play tennis?
Yeah. I'm in intramural right now. Blast.
You play intramural tennis?
Yeah.
Nice.
There's intramural tennis? I didn't know that. Oh, that's why you... I always thought that you were, like, just going out and playing with a friend.
Not a mix.
I have a match. He's like, he's been saying, I have a match. And I'm like, oh, that's an interesting way to say, like, I'm playing with a friend. But you actually have a match.
Yeah.
Damn.
I mean, look, it's not super competitive.
What's your record?
My record is, well, technically 1-1, but in my match this past Wednesday I was up 4-1, but then it got suspended by rain, so we could argue that I was on my way to winning the match, but
so you
know,
just play,
I'll leave it up to you,
like,
listeners.
One set,
yeah, just okay. One set, no ads. So once you get to deuce hits, you know, it's winner takes that next next point. So yeah, it's been a good time, and then I'll have my first intramural soccer match after a long wait this coming Sunday. So
Lucas, you're not playing intramural soccer?
No, I'm playing intramural.
Choir,
we're on different teams.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
He's on
so
choir.
Maybe we match up.
He's
at
on
some
choir.
Point.
My intramural soccer team, we've been doing well. 2-0.
Oh.
We won our first game, I think 5-0. Second game, 2-0. I think the second game we played well.
That goal differential is
goal differential
through
is
the
key.
Roof.
Beat it.
Yeah.
But you know, it's going well. Good season.
We got to get a JumboCast intramural basketball team, I think. Yeah. Do they do 5-on-5 for intramurals?
I did it last year. It's
5-on-5 full court?
It used to be full court. It's supposedly pretty fun, but last year when I was doing it, they had too many teams sign up, so they did 5-on-5 half court.
Oh, that's terrible.
No,
that's terrible.
Were you on the same team as Jesse?
Yeah.
Nice.
I mean, maybe it's not the worst in the world. I don't know if we have, like, the stamina and athletic capacity to go full court for whatever it is, 20 minutes, but...
I want to see Jared Davis have up the court.
the grandpa lungs after a few minutes.
We tried intramural football last year, and let's just say...
Great success.
Maybe a bit of an interesting experiment, that one.
Yeah.
But
it kind of made the rounds at quarterback a little too much. We didn't really set on a starter. It was a bit disorganized in that
Although,
way.
Although, I will say that the only time that Owen Finnegan showed up, we did. That was our only win.
We won. Correct.
Our only, like, legitimate win, because another one, they sort of gave us a win because the other team
I am
showed
undefeated
up.
In intramural sports in there my Tufts career. I want to make everybody know that.
Oh, yeah.
So, I guess with the remaining 15 minutes, we can sort of transition into... professional sports. So I'll start off because my Patriots, lifelong fan, at a stout 6-0. For any of you folks at home who are playing fantasy football, I think the Patriots defense has been like the sixth or seventh best player in fantasy football this year, which is pretty insane. They've scored way more touchdowns than they've allowed. I think they've only allowed 3 or 4, and they've scored like 5 or something like that. So the only time that it's ever happened this late into the season, at least in the modern era, playing Monday Night Football, On Monday against who, Max?
Jets. It's going to be a slaughter. I shouldn't be so
hey,
cheery.
Hey, Darnold's back, though.
He is, and they are... Well,
game's at home, right, for the Jets?
Yeah.
So it's over. Forget it. Yeah.
They're going to win.
MetLife will be rocking.
They're going to win 20-17. Just watch it. 20-17.
Darnold and his tiny, tiny spleen.
Well protected now, at least. But
very well protected. Did you see the... I'm sure Max did, but on the broadcast, they were showing his new padding around his spleen. It's basically... He's in essentially like a one of those like dome cage things. Where it's basically he's got, you know, shoulder pads, some chest plates, but then he's got this giant ring around his spleen. It's kind of crazy. He says it doesn't bother him, though. And he's going to wear it the rest of the season.
That's crazy, man. Imagine, knowing that you could die if someone hits your spleen.
He gave an interview about a week and a half ago, and the headline was, it literally said, you know, Darnold ready to come back but doesn't want to die. And it sounds very comedic, but when you actually read the article, he's like, look, if I get hit here, there's a chance I'm not going to, see another day. Yeah. So I'm really not trying to die out here.
Got to lay it all out there for the team. And now pay dividends.
He's, what, a 22-year-old? He's the future of the Jets. So I think the Jets were like, you know what? Fair enough. Don't care.
Well, tell me a little bit about the Jets last week. Because didn't they – who'd they beat?
Dallas. Cowboys.
Yeah. Okay, what happened there? It was Darnold's first game back?
Darnold looked really good.
Yeah.
They missed him so, so badly.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a game when – I don't remember which of our backup QBs it was – the entire game, he threw for 98 passing yards.
This man,
Darnold threw for 92 on one play.
It reminded me of high school football where you would have the guy, I think it was Luke Falk, he would not throw for more than 10-15 yards.
All his checkdowns.
And the biggest joke was, in that week of practice leading up to the game, I mean, this was the week before they came back, that Falk was taking all the first team reps. Darnold was taking all the first team reps. They were so optimistic his spleen was somehow going to get it together and he was going to start that game. Meanwhile, Falk, who ended up starting, who frankly could probably get all the first team reps in the world and still not be that great, was sitting with the second stringer, so obviously didn't bode well for him.
You know what I don't understand about the whole backup quarterback situation, which kind of gave me a sour taste in my mouth about Coach Adam Gase, was none of these guys, right? The Jets backup to start the season was Trevor Siemian, so he was with them in camp.
Trevor Siemian.
He had his leg shattered when Darnold Siemian started the second game, got injured, done for the year. So the Jets had to outsource and find someone in free agency. They brought in, who was it, Luke Falk, and then who was the other guy? David Fales. Both guys that Adam Gase knew from Miami. That's why he brought them into the Jets. Obviously you're in a tough spot if you're relying on a third string guy you're signing for agency, but think about some of the names out there. It's like, Sam Bradford was out there. I would even take, at this point, see if Mark Sanchez wants to get him.
Yeah,
it was kind of ridiculous that he's trying to find guys that he just knew from Miami.
Just for journalistic integrity, I do need to point out Lucas's bias towards Mark Sanchez due to the fat head of Mark Sanchez that is in Lucas Piles' childhood bedroom.
Oh, you got one too?
What?
Lucas Johnson's bias. I always do that. I always do that with you. I always call you Lucas Pyle, and I never call you Lucas Johnson. I don't know why.
We're always just thinking about Lucas Pyle.
We had Lucas Johnson and I were on a baseball broadcast. Do you remember this? We were on a baseball broadcast last spring, and I called you Lucas Pyle probably 3 or 4 times. I'm sorry.
I'll take it as a compliment. Yeah. I wish I
You never call me Owen Fitzsimon.
I think it's just different, right? Because the first name is... When I'm looking at Simons, I'm thinking, you're E. Owen. I was abroad all of last fall, and in our group meet that we communicate with, I see this kid, and his name is I've never seen spelling like this. I'm yoing.
It's actually Owen.
I never thought it was Owen.
And I actually don't know if anyone knows this, but Cougar, who's a freshman in the JumboCat, a new freshman in the JumboCat Club, his first name is Owen. So we actually have three Owens.
Really?
Three Owens, two Lucases, two Henrys.
Is his middle name Cougar?
I don't know. I was talking to his roommate, who I actually have a class with, believe it or not, Espanol Uno. His roommate said that that's just what his parents call him. That's what he's always gone by. We should ask him. Cougar's a good kid. So anyway, that's the Jets.
All right, Pyle, talk to us about some prep.
about
Arsenal.
I just quickly want to give a shout out to the Seahawks.
The Seahawks.
5-1, Russell Wilson.
Yeah, but MVP campaign. Let's go.
But if we're switching over to a bit of prem, big weekend this weekend. Look, Manchester United versus Liverpool on Sunday. It's a big Sunday clash, soccer Sunday.
Go Reds.
Liverpool have had a fantastic start. 8 wins, 0 draws, 0 losses. They've been superb. They squeaked out a win in their last game against Leicester, who have also had a fantastic season. And then Man U, of course, have been the comical decline of Man U. So we're all just loving it here as non-Man U fans.
Wait, what happened to Man U?
They've just been struggling. You know, they had an interesting summer transfer window where they brought in some good young players, but sold two strikers and didn't replace them, so they can't get a goal to save themselves. They're relying on Marcus Rashford, who's not really doing it. But it's a big game. They need just a good performance. A draw would even be okay. Just something to get those fans, you know, happy again. But of course, I'm hoping for a Liverpool win because Man U on the decline is just.
City also, they've dropped a few. Didn't they have a very surprising loss?
They lost to Wolves last time out.
Who are the Wolves?
Wolverhampton Wanderers. They've actually been on the rise, so they were
mid-table.
Mm. So they had a sort of an influx of cash maybe 3 seasons ago when they were in the Championship, and that's propelled them into the Premiership. Last season, they were very good. They got a Europa League spot, so for a team that just got promoted, it's really impressive.
There's a town called Wolverhampton.
I believe so. Yeah, well, let me check.
That sounds like a town where, like, if you're playing, like, Skyrim or, like, The Witcher 3 or something like that.
Spot
that,
on the map.
Yeah. Right.
Like Ansgard.
Yeah, Wolverhampton. That's the name of the town. So
that's pretty sick.
I believe it's in the Midlands.
Looking at the table here, I mean, with my somewhat sparse knowledge of the Prem, how can you explain Tottenham's place at ninth in the table?
Come on, you Spurs! That's even more fantastic. You know, being an Arsenal fan, watching Tottenham fall apart is just music. You know, it's happy days.
I'm sure you were about to be on the verge of tears if Tottenham pulled that off in the Champions
League. Yeah. That was a stressful day.
Well, how has Arsenal been? As someone who literally knows nothing,
it's been a very interesting and frustrating season. So we're third place in the table, which is good. We need to get back in the Champions League to get that Champions League money. But
of course,
you know, it's just been, we've not played that well, and the wins that we've had, we've only won by one goal. We don't really seem to have a cohesive system. The manager, I'm not sure if he's the guy to take us to the next level. It's just been frustrating. So we need to start performing better. I mean, third place, I'd take that at the end of the season, but I don't know if we'll be there if we continue playing the way that we have been. So
yeah, it's pretty wild to see that, you know, for a team in third, their goal differential is only +2.
Yeah, they concede way too many goals.
Yeah, kind of puts you on the edge of your seat. Like, are they actually going to be able to keep this up, you know, for the long haul?
And I think, you know, their last game out against Bournemouth was sort of like a perfect example of why us fans have been frustrated with the team. Started the game really well, opening 20 minutes, we get a goal, and we're on the front foot against the team that we should impose ourselves upon. But then, especially second half, we let them come on to us. So that's sort of been the frustrating thing, not really being able to take the games by the scruff of the neck. But hopefully that changes. Hopefully it changes.
All right. Playoff baseball also in full swing. Very, very stoic Red Sox fan, I'll say.
Yeah, none of us have any vested interest.
Oh, yeah, God. Well, I kind of have a vested interest in that I want the Yankees to lose.
I'm sure Max and I do as well. The Nationals and Yankees.
True.
the resident Seattle Mariners fan over here. When playoff baseball comes along, I'm like, what even is this?
Yeah, but just a brief, I think the Nationals are on to the World Series, right?
A light sweep of the cards.
So that's exciting. Astros dominating the Yankees last night, 8-3. George Springer had a 3-run home run off of Tanaka. That was awesome. I was giggling like a schoolgirl. So they play tonight, I think. In Houston leads 3-1. So Yankees have to beat Verlander and Cole if they want to stay alive. So
did I ever tell you, I've told so many people, it's my claim to fame, but basically, Astros single-A affiliate is about 30 minutes from my house. In like 2011, right after Springer got drafted, I went to a game. It was like his third day as a professional player, and he gave me an autograph. So
wow.
Yeah, so George Springer, by association, friend of the show.
Hold on to that autograph.
Maybe we can get him on for a call. Yeah. What is their single-A affiliate?
Well, you know how baseball, they have a couple different ones. So yeah. I don't know like what league this is, but I think it's like, it is more or less their main single-A affiliate. They're the The Tri-City Valley Cats.
Tri-City Valley Cats?
Yeah.
Or is it Tri-City Valley Cats or is it Tri-City Valley Cats?
I think it's Tri-City Valley Dash Cats.
I love minor league. Yeah.
It's always a fun time. Tickets are so cheap. Good family environment.
Yeah.
Players always want to give, you know, the younger kids autographs.
Minor league baseball team names is
excellent.
Awesome. Yeah.
So. Oh, and you'll get a kick out of this.
Yeah.
The Richmond Flying Squirrels, double A affiliate of the San Francisco Giants. I still have a poster from that game, and you can sure bet I'm not getting rid of that anytime soon.
Flying Squirrels is really awesome. The big news in Boston about minor league baseball is our Triple A, the. They're technically called the Pawtucket Red Sox,
right.
Which are...
They're moving, right?
Yeah, so they're called the Paw Sox, and it's in Pawtucket, Rhode Island, who they can't really support the team anymore, so they're going to be moving. One of the places that... Or I think it actually just recently got confirmed is they're moving to Worcester, which I think is the perfect place to put a minor league baseball team, because there's so many colleges out there, and I feel like... I don't know, we're all college students. Like, I would love to go to minor league baseball games.
Yeah,
so... The transition from the Paw Sox into the Woo Sox very exciting.
It just doesn't have the same ring to it.
Anyways, coming up on the end of the show here. This is the JumboCast radio show. We're on every other week, so catch us in 2 weeks. You're listening to 91.5 WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. This is Tufts Freeform Radio. And be sure to tune in this weekend. We got volleyball tonight, we got football and soccer tomorrow, and then definitely turn in next weekend where we got a bunch of big sports games against Middlebury on the 26th. Revel in Lucas Piles' tears, hopefully. Anyways, for JumboCast, my name is Owen Finnegan. I'm joined alongside Lucas Pyle, Lucas Johnson, and Max Goldfarb. We're going to play you out with a song here, and stay tuned. Enjoy the next show. It's going to be a good one. And catch us in 2 weeks. So thank you all so much.